Okay. You turn back to the book of Hebrew, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1 is the definition of faith, what faith is all about. And now I would like to explain this Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1, what faith is all about. The author say, faith is being sure of what we hope for. If you put your faith on the unfaithful man, your faith is in vain. But if you put your faith in God, I want you to write that down right beside the word faith. Faith, book of Hebrews chapter 1, all the way to chapter 10, the author wants us to put our faith not in man, but faith in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to put our faith in the Word of God. If you put your faith in the Word of man, and that word contradict to the Word of God, then your faith is in vain. Although you say, I get it. But in reality, you won't get it. I say that one more time. Our faith has to be put in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is Jesus Christ. How do I know? I want you to turn to Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 2, the Word was with God in the beginning. He, who is He? Right beside He. You write that down? In verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. In verse 11, he came to the world which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, circle the word, has faith in his name, has faith in his word. Right beside his name, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, has faith in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. Right beside his name. You write down Revelation 19:13. His name is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19. When we put our faith in his name is the Word of God. What is his name? That's the name of Jesus. What is God command to us? God command to us is to believe in the name of his Son. We don't believe any name. We only believe the name of his son. What's the name of his son? They call Jesus Christ. So when we put our faith, we don't put our faith in any person. We only put our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't put our faith in any word. We only put our faith in the Word of God. Then, after I explain all this, now we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now I tell you, what we hope for. And I give you two Bible verses that I want to explain this Bible verse. One is Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9. And also compare with Psalm 47. I read that to you first. Could you turn to Psalm chapter 2, verse 7? I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." This is what the Heavenly Father said to his son Jesus Christ. And he asked Jesus Christ to proclaim the decree of the Lord, to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim the command of God. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." What is that today? Today is the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day God raised him from the dead, on that day, God the Father said to Jesus Christ, "You are my son. You are God's son." And today, I have become your father. That means Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus Christ on that day has eternal life. And he will not die anymore. And then Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, "Ask of me," God said to his son, Jesus Christ, and tell him to ask of God, "and I will make the nation your inheritance, and the end of the earth your possession." When Jesus asked of God, then got him eternal inheritance. Thirdly, Psalm 2, verse 9. "You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." And Jesus Christ has eternal kingship. And all this, Jesus Christ received it from God. When? On the day he was resurrected from the dead. So, what do we have from Jesus? I want you to turn to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Verse 3. "He subdues nation under us. And Jesus Christ subdued nation under us. And Jesus Christ subdues people under our feet. In other words, what Jesus Christ received from God, He gave it to us. Verse 47, it's right in here. That means, on the day of our resurrection, and Jesus Christ is going to subdue nation under us, and people under our feet. This He gave it to the overcomer. I want you to write beside Psalm 47 verse 2. You write down Psalm 110 verse 1. This is exactly what God said to Jesus Christ. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, God the Father said to God the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet. When Jesus Christ becomes the overcomer, He can sit at the right hand of God the Father. And God the Father will make His enemy a footstool for His feet. Because Jesus Christ do the will of the Lord, God the Father. In the same way, when we do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, God sent His Son, and then His Son sent us to do Jesus' will. Would you please turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. So all this blessing is Jesus Christ gave it to us because He received it from God the Father. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. Because Jesus Christ is an overcomer. His victory over the enemy, because He do the will of the of God the Father. And when God gave him the blessing, as it is recorded in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet. And now, He said to us, how God said to him, He said to us, how God gave him the blessing, and He gave us the blessing. Who get the blessing? It's the overcomer. Who do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ will get this kind of blessing. And I will give you the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with me, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. Now go back to Psalm 47, verse 4. Psalm 47, verse 4 is in here. It's equal to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. Psalm 47, verse 4. Jesus Christ chose our inheritance for us. That inheritance is the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ and obey His will, He loves us also. We love Him because He loves us first. He loves us so much that He chose our inheritance for us, and He gave us that inheritance. how God gave the inheritance to Jesus Christ, he said, ask of me. You ask me, then I give it to you. So in the same way, when we have faith in Jesus, we ask him to give it to us. And ask him to help us to do the will of him, so that we can receive this kind of blessing. And thirdly, Psalm 47, verse 5 and verse 6. God has ascended amid shout of joy. This God is Jesus Christ. You write that down? In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. After Jesus said this, Jesus Christ was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. So in other words, when Jesus Christ has ascended amid shout of joy, they are very happy when they see that Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. And the Lord ascended amid the sounding of trumpet. And then when they see Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, what do? In verse 6, they sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. That King, you write down, is the King of all kings. That's Jesus Christ. Sing praises. I want you to write that down. Psalm 27, equivalent to Psalm 47, verse 5 and 6. You say, Pastor John, how can you see that? I want you to turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 17 to 18. It is not the dead who praise the Lord. In Psalm 47, verse 6, they say, when they see Jesus Christ overcome death and ascended to the heaven, and they shout for joy. They are so happy. When you are happy, you sing the songs of praise. You sing praises to God and sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. Who sing praises to our Lord God Almighty? It is not the dead who praise the Lord. Those who go down to silence, who go to hell, cannot praise God. Verse 18. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. The one who has eternal life, the one who is living, will praise God. The dead one will not praise God. So what is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. What do I hope for? I hope I'm going to get eternal life. What is faith? Faith is being certain of what you do not see. I do not see eternal life in my own body. My body is dying. But I have faith. That faith is come from the Word. Come from the Word of God. I don't have faith from man. I have that faith from the Word of God. Psalm 2 is the Word of God. That the Word, the promise, God, the Father, give it to God the Son. And Psalm 47 is the Word of God. Is what Jesus Christ promised to all his children. We believe in Jesus Christ, not only have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, just have eternal life. You don't need to study the Bible then. Right? When we study the Bible, where does faith come from? Romans? Chapter 10, verse 17. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes from the message. The message comes from the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you say that you have faith in God, but you do not know what He promised you, in reality, you have no faith. Alright? What is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Do we receive eternal life now? No. We haven't received eternal life yet. When do we receive eternal life? According to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Take a look at that. On the day of His second coming. At that time, we will receive the redemption of our body. And we will receive the adoption as sonship. Then by that time, we are truly become the children of God. Although He said that, anyone who believe in Me, anyone who has faith in Me, I give him the right to be the children of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12. Okay? Now I want you to turn to that. First of all, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves, who has the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. That is the redemption of our body. Because we are dying. Because Adam and Eve sins against God. We are from Adam and Eve. So that's why we're getting older and older. And one day we will die. We are waiting for the redemption of our body. By that time, we will receive the glorious body. That body will not die anymore. That redemption of the body, what is that redemption of the body? That redemption of the body is just like Romans chapter 6, verse 9. And Jesus Christ has received that body on the day of His resurrection. I read that to you. Chapter 6, verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. On the day of His resurrection, Jesus Christ received that glorious body, that He won't die anymore. He only dies once. In the same way, we will receive the same kind of blessing. And how do I know? Let's take a look at the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17 to 18. Now, if we are children, then we are heir. Heir of God, co-heirs with Christ. In other words, whatever Jesus Christ has received from God, when Jesus Christ becomes the overcomer, and as long as we rely upon Jesus Christ to be the overcomer, just like He overcome, then we become co-heir with Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus Christ received from God the Father, we receive from Jesus. If indeed we share in His suffering, if we carry our own cross and follow Jesus Christ to be an overcomer, in order that we may also share in His glory. We share in His glory. We not only share in His glory to have the glorious eternal life. We also share in His glory to have the glorious eternal inheritance. Because that's the glory of Jacob. That's the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. Because Jacob loved God, Israel loved God, and God said, you love me? I give you something that you have never heard of. And finally, we will receive the glorious kingship, eternal kingship. Co-heir with Christ, that word is very, very important. In other words, you just look at Jesus. What has He received from God the Father? And if you follow Him, rely upon Him and follow Him, you will receive exactly what He received from God the Father. Because we are heir of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ. If you share in Jesus' suffering, you're going to share in Jesus' glory. What kind of glory that Jesus received from God the Father? The glorious eternal life. And He also promised to give us that glory, eternal life. Not only in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, Paul also said that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus Christ, when He comes back on the second time, He's going to use His mighty power to raise us from the dead and give us the glorious body. That glorious body is like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control, Jesus Christ, by His power, will transform our lowly body, our weak body, our mortal body, so that they will be like His glorious body. That glorious body is the glorious eternal life. I say that one more time. What is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. What does it mean by hope? Hope, that means you haven't received it yet. Who will hope for something that you have already received? Go back to Romans 8:23. Take a look at what Paul is saying. 8:23, I read that again. Not only so, but we ourselves, who has the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son. We wait eagerly. We know for sure we're going to get the adoption as sonship. Right beside adoption as son. I want you to write that down. You write that Gospel of John 1:12. Once you receive the promise, it says two stages. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12, yet to all who receive Jesus Christ, to those who believe in His name, believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ gave the right to become children of God. He gave you the right to become children of God. But we are still dying. Supposedly, when you become the Son of God, you are not supposed to die, right? But we are still dying. So that's why we eagerly waiting for the adoption as sonship. We haven't received it. We wait for that. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. I want you to write that down. 8:24 right beside, hope that is seen is no hope at all. You hope for something, that means you haven't seen it. You have to have a faith in it. What's the definition of faith again? What's faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. You hope that you're going to have what? Adoption as sonship by that time. For sure, you have eternal life. according to Paul saying in verse 24, Romans 8:24, for in this hope we were saved. We were saved in this hope. What is this hope? This hope is the hope of the redemption of our body. This hope is the hope of the redemption of our body. What is this hope? Hope is the adoption as son. We will be adopted as son. What's the hope? The hope to receive eternal life. What's that hope? That hope is the Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. Our body, our lowly body, will be transformed into the glorious body. Although we die, we'll be resurrected. That's the hope we're going to receive. Okay? Who hope for what he already in verse 24, I read that again. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hope for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently and we still believe in it. So I say that one more time. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. You know what? When you hear someone make you some promise, when he realized the promise that he made to you, it hurt him, he's going to change the promise. I give you one illustration. When the economy is good, you get an interview from big company, the boss say, I like you, and you're going to work in this company until you retire. And lo and behold, the oil come down. Let's say, assuming, come down to $20 a barrel. $20 a barrel. You know what happened? If it's $20 a barrel, a lot of promise that he make to you, he say, you're going to be voided. Because he cannot sustain you. He cannot pay you the salary. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you put your hope in the word of man, your hope is in vain. When he realizes that it hurt him, he's going to change that. Right? But when you put your hope in the word of God, he won't change it. Even though it hurt him, he won't change it. So, faith is being sure of what you hope for. Faith is being certain of what you do not see. I don't see it yet. I don't see the eternal life yet. What I see is I'm dying. I don't see the kingship yet. I don't see the inheritance yet. Right? And that is faith. So, brother and sister, the more you put the word of God in your heart, the stronger your faith in God. Do not have a blind faith. And you have to know where that blessing comes from. All this blessing is from the word of God. Can you see what I see? In this order, Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, the moment Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he has a glorious body, so that's why when he resurrected, none of his disciples recognized his face. None of them recognized his appearance. Right? The body is changed. He received the glorious body. And he appeared to his disciples for 40 days to prove it to them. I am the resurrection and I am the life. In Psalm chapter 2 verse 8, he said, ask of me, then you will receive eternal inheritance. If Jesus Christ has to ask of God to receive it, brother and sister, do you think we don't have to ask for God? Do we need to ask for God for that? Do we need to ask for God for that? He said, God, what you have given it to Jacob, what you have given it to Jacob, that's the pride of Jacob, whom you love. And you told us that you love us. For God is love. You told us that you love us. You told us that you are impartial. You doesn't show favoritism. If Jacob relied upon you and put his faith in you, and now we follow his footsteps to put our faith in you, could you give us the inheritance you? Do you understand? We also have to ask for it. Finally, eternal kingship. I just want to let you know, okay? If your parents is a CEO of IBM, will he ask you to work for the McDonald's in the cashier? Andy? Or will he say, you better study hard, know more about IT, know more about computer, and eventually you're going to take over the IBM? Do you understand? Now I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. Because all these people like Abraham, David, Daniel, all these ancient people, they were commended for their faith. They are commended for their hope in God. They honored God and God honored them. And in here, verse 3, what did the Bible say? I asked God, why would you put the first faith that the ancient people had for you is the faith in God's creation? In chapter 11, verse 3, let me read that to you. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Without the word of God, what do we put our faith in? We put our faith in what we see. Right? When I see this, then I believe. If I don't see this, I don't believe. But then, in verse 3, read that one more time. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed, was created, was made, was fashioned at God's command. So I want you to write that down. Right beside at God's command, you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the earth is equivalent to the universe. In the word in Hebrew chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed as God's command. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made the universe. God formed the universe at his command. Verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Verse 3. And God said, right beside, and God said. God said, that means at God's command. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In other words, Before God said, let there be light, take a look and in verse 2, what it is like, the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. That means there's no light shine upon the earth, right? At the very beginning, there's no light shine on the earth. And then God said, at God's command, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the first day. First day, what did God create? Light. In verse 6, in the second day, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. First day, He said, let there be light. Second day, let there be sky. Sky above, there's water. Sky below, there's water. Take a look at the third day. Verse 9. And God said, circle all these words. In verse 3, God said. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. God said, God said. You write that down. In Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 3. At God's command. When He say, it will be done. Okay? Brother and sister, we put our faith in what God say. We don't put our faith in what you say and what the other people say. We put our faith in what God say. Okay? Verse 9. On the third day, God say, let the water under the sky be gathered at one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. So God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters He called sea. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plant and tree on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kind. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plant-bearing seed according to their kind, and tree-bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. You know what? Before He created human being, He makes sure the place is habitable. He makes sure the place has night and day. Make sure you can rest at night and you can work in the daytime. Before He created human being, He makes sure there's a sky, there's oxygen for you that you can breathe in. Before He give you birth, He makes sure that there's food for you when you get up and ready and eat it, right? Is it good? Can you imagine the first day He created Adam and Eve and there's nothing to eat? Wait for 7 days. You know what I mean? He's so good. Verse 14. Circle the word God said in verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as sign to mark season and days and year. Verse 15. and let them be the light in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great light. The greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the star. And God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Now I want to stop here to challenge you. Do you remember what happened on the first day? The whole earth is covered with what? With deep water. The whole earth is covered with water. On the first day, do we see any dry ground? We don't see any dry ground on the first day. Do we see any light on the first day? On the first day, we see the light. After we see the light, we call the first day, right? Okay, on the first day, what do we see? We see the light, right? But on the fourth day, we see the light from the sun. Which light come first? Which light come first? Sunlight? Or God's light? Well, I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Can anyone tell me why? You know, some people, they don't understand the Bible. They challenge the Bible. And they thought they are wiser than God. Okay? First day, it's covered with water. All these are water. And that's the earth. No light was shining until God said, let there be light. And there was light. So that light shining on the earth. Could you tell me what's that light? I tell you what this light. This light is the sun of righteousness. I want you to write that down. Right beside, let there be light. That light, according to the Old Testament, in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4, surely, verse 1, the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, say the Lord Almighty. Not a root, I want to circle the word, said the Lord Almighty. Right beside said the Lord Almighty, I want you to write that down. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And there was light right away. But when God say that, all these evildoers will be destroyed by fire, say the Lord Almighty. You know what happened? It will happen. Unless the wicked people turn around and repent. Verse 2. But for you who revere my name, who fear God, the sun, I want you to change that, the sun using capital letter S. the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wing. And you will go out and live like calf relieved from the storm. What is that Sun of Righteousness? Can anyone tell me what's that Sun of Righteousness? In the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ come back, what happened on earth? The whole earth is covered with what? Darkness. Do you know that the whole earth is covered with darkness? Do you know that, Carl? Where does it say? Revelation chapter 16. The fifth angel. The fifth angel poured the bowl of God's wrath on the throne of Antichrist. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. That beast is the Antichrist, false Christ. And his kingdom, is the kingdom of the world, was plunged into darkness. When the whole earth was plunged into darkness, who come? I want you to write that down. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. That bright morning star is the Sun of Righteousness. The Sun of Righteousness is not the sun that we see the sun. The sun has already turned darkness. I want you to write that down. Job chapter 9, verse 7. When the Lord Jesus Christ speak to the sun, there's no light. Then it just turned dark. When God speaks to the sun, and it does not shine, it turned total dark. And then he sealed off the lights of the star. You know what? All these stars, they don't radiate light. They reflect the light of the sun. On the first day, that light, it's not the light of sun, small letter, S-U-N. It's the light of the Son of God, that Jesus Christ. I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus Christ say, I am the light of the world. When he say, I'm the light of the world, in Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, people don't understand what it really means, you are the light of the world. When the whole world is turned into total darkness, when God speaks to the sun, I don't want you to shine anymore. Stop that. It just stop it. Who created the sun? God created the sun. God gave light to the sun, and God taken it away. Can he do that? May the name of the Lord be praised. Just like Job chapter 1, verse 21. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken it away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Who praised the Lord? The one who is living. The one who has eternal life will praise God. Because he will see all this kind of great wonder. That light. Before there was light of sun, there's the light of Jesus Christ. He is the light. In 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5, what did the Bible say? Bible say, God is light. And let there be light. He let the light of Jesus Christ shine on the earth. That's the first thing. People don't understand God's word. Don't challenge God. You challenge God, you'll be destroyed. You understand? What is faith? Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Faith is being certain of what you do not see. And I just believe in what the Bible says. Does it make sense? That's faith. So finally, in conclusion, what's the relationship of the creation and the creator? God created, first of all, the heaven and the earth, and then fashion and make it. Make mountain, make valley, and all these are the finger of God. When you go to a tour or go to Yellowstone and all these places, you know, you see the wonder of God's work, and you know that. And God created that at His command. He said, let there be that. Let there be a big mountain. He said, huge mountains over there. And let there be a valley, and that's the valley over there. Right? Let there be a river, and a river there. Everything was created at His command. And now, when we read His book, should we honor His command? And what is God's command? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, God's command is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Have your faith not in anyone else, but in faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in His word. And then according to His command, to love one another. You know what? Then, if you do this, you will have a blessed hope of eternal life. Adoption as sonship. The redemption of your lowly body to become the glorious body. And secondly, you're going to inherit the eternal inheritance. And finally, you're going to inherit the kingship to reign with Jesus Christ. That's what we have hope for. That's what we have faith in. Does it make sense? Now we receive all these blessings. Should we praise Him? Praise God for His mighty God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a sky, and there was sky. He moved the water, moved it up. And He gathered all this water to become sea, to become river, and expose the dry ground. So that we can live on it. And what the Bible say in Psalm 115, the heavens belong to our Lord, and the earth He giveth to us. He prepared in advance for us to live in. And so that we can give praise, give thanks to Him. You know, sometimes, you know, we only give thanks to Him when He gives us job. We don't realize that. We should give thanks to Him so that we can live on earth. Psalm 115, verse 14 and 16. May the Lord make you increase both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Verse 16, the highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth He has given to man. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us such a beautiful place to stay, that we can raise our family. We can support our own life, for You are a great God. You prepare everything. If we don't read the scripture, we don't study the scripture, we don't even know that what You have in store for us. We're chasing after vanity, and help us to chase after You, eager to wait for Your appearance. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.